it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick and Femi are such close friends. I would even consider getting divorced, even though I'm very happily married, just to get remarried, to have them as groomsmen. That's how much they mean to me.
Hi, this is Kevin Harlan of CBS, Westwood One, and TNT. And I'm listening, as you do every day, to You Better You Bet with the most handsome single man in the radio business. A man who, if I was not married for 38 years, I might consider myself. The kind of guy that can electrify a listening audience and a crowd of bystanders watching him do what he does so well each and every day. Continue to listen right here on You Better You Bet.
This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
The terrific Football Tuesday edition of You Better You Bet rolls on. Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, our crew, and you here on the BetMGM Network. First hour of the show devoted entirely to last night's Monday Night Football doubleheader, the Bucs with a last-second win in Houston against the Texans, and why I think Houston's in big... I should have done like Houston. We have a problem. Why I think Houston's in big trouble this season, and why I think it actually made the Falcons look really good last night, how well Tampa's played the first two games of the year, and then the Chargers smothering Geno Smith and the Las Vegas Raiders. The Chargers first place in the AFC West at 2-0 with two division wins already. We will get to college football coming up later this hour. Storylines from week three this past Saturday and what was a wild and wacky Saturday. We'll spin it forward to week four with some bets that we like, both futures and games. Drew Dinsick joins us next hour on the show. His bets for week three in the NFL and all our bets for tonight will close the final hour, the power hour of the program. But joining us right now to talk National Football League, as he does each and every Tuesday in this spot, and we're very lucky and happy to have him, Odyssey Sports NFL insider, Super Bowl champion, NFL on Fox, the great Mark Schlereth, who is also the host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Stink, welcome back to the show. Nick and Femi, what's going on?
Just prepping, man. I've got Washington Raiders this weekend. So I was actually watching the coach's tape of the Raiders game last night and just kind of digging through that, looking at what I can see. So anyhow, plugging away. That's all.
So we want everybody to check out the Stinkin' Truth podcast, right, where Mark is unbelievable on the show, breaking down the National Football League. And in this week's edition of the podcast, Stink does an awesome job talking about how the Bengals are putting Joe Burrow's career at risk. Bengals got to change the offense moving forward in order to protect him. People can check that out. Stinkin' Truth podcast, wherever you find your podcasts. So, Mark, let's start here with the Cincinnati Bengals, and we can take the conversation in a different direction, right? And that is what this team's going to look like with Jake Browning, probably for the rest of the season, at minimum for the next 3 months. The Bengals did start 2-0. They are 2-0 right now, but Browning's going to take over probably for the rest of the year. Do you see the Cincinnati Bengals, Mark, as a playoff team this year with Jake Browning under center? How do you see the rest of the season going?
I didn't see them as a playoff team with Joe Burrow under center, so I don't know how I'm going to see them with Jake Browning under center, although I think Browning is a good player, certainly not Joe Burrow, but it'll be interesting for me to watch how their offense adjusts or if their offense adjusts. And one of the reasons, you brought up the Stinkin' Truth podcast, I appreciate that, but one of the things that I've had, one-on-one with Joe Burrow about it. Like, they make that guy play off the high dive 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I think in the first 30 plays of that game before he went out, they were under center twice, once on the goal line. They are in shotgun, and they're basically going, hey, Joe, you orchestrate the whole offense from shotgun all the time. So you never turn your back to the defense with hard play action. Your play action is never going to be as good. You can pull a guard, on a fake power. But The other part of it is your run game is always going to suffer because if you don't ever get under center, your gun runs, it eliminates about 40% of or 50% of what you can do running the football. So, like, to me, you've got to be able to call runs. You've got to be able to take some pressure off your quarterback. You've got to get him what we call in the NFL breather plays every now and again. And it'll be interesting to see if the coaching staff does that for Browning because they certainly never do it for Burrow. And that dude just gets this, like, the living piss beat out of him every Sunday. And, you know, he's made of peanut brittle. So you should probably change your offense a little bit to make sure he doesn't get hit 14 times a weekend. But you don't, and now he's out.
And probably out for the rest of the season for the Cincinnati Bengals. Mark, there was a built-in joke when you said you're watching coaches tape from the Raiders game last night. I don't know if Tom Brady's sitting next to you. Brady, obviously, in the owner's box yesterday, or the coach's box with the headset on. Now, I know he's your Fox teammate, right? You call games for Fox, so does Tom Brady. There is a question that's floating around right now that I need to ask you, and you can answer the question however you want, given that you both work for the same network. But people are saying, like, big-time conflict of interest here. Brady's going into opposing locker rooms and talking to coaches and players, potentially. And he also is part owner of the Raiders and apparently talks to Chip Kelly and Pete Carroll multiple times per week. Where do you come down on this, on the Tom Brady conundrum that really got kicked into overdrive after what we saw last night on Monday Night Football?
Well, I think, one, and I don't think there is a decided advantage. So it is a bad look for the NFL. There's no question. And because the fans see that as a bad look, I mean, he called Washington Giants week one, right? Now the Raiders are coming to Washington. I'm calling that game this weekend. He just called a Washington game. And, you know, can you give information to the Raiders? Absolutely. But that coach's tape, listen, those coaches know what they're looking at. There's reasons that they're coaches. And here's the thing, that the dirty little secret that nobody wants to talk about is we all run the exact same stuff. It's so incestual. There hasn't been a new passing, like, there hasn't been a new passing combination in this league in 30 years. We all run the same stuff. Now, we'll call it different things, right? But we all run, you know, some type of smash concept, some type of Yankee concept, some type of Mills concept, a mesh concept, a shallow cross concept, a basic concept, a bow concept. Like, we all run the same exact stuff. So it's not like, you know, Tom Brady's going in and go, hey, guess what, Raiders, I found the secret plays. I was snooping around the facility, and they've got the magic plays, you know, the ones they got from Hogwarts. And that doesn't exist. It's so funny you talk to coaches, and I talked to the Carolina Panthers coach, Dave Canales, and there was a play that they ran that I'd never seen before. And I'm like, oh, dude, that play where you get into, you know, you get into doubles Y off, and you've got your gun near, so that your running back is by the tight end, and you run to the left, and then you bounce back to the right. Like, I haven't seen this play run. And Dave Canales goes, oh, yeah, I stole it from Kansas City a couple of years ago. They ran it, and I really liked it. Like, that's how the league works. We all see the same film. So, you know, it's a bad look, but is there a decided advantage because Brady's walking into Washington's locker room or Brady's walking into, you know, Chicago's or whatever, Chicago-Dallas, and the Raiders play Chicago next week? No, I don't believe that there's an advantage at all, really.
I do want to follow on this here, and I'm like, this is not like to put you on, but I just think this answer is so interesting, right? Because, like, I'm guessing, like, Mark, you played at the highest level. You won championships. There are, like, other pro athletes, NFL players, former players, who have played at the highest level, have won championships, played for championships, who are, like, up in arms over this. And I'm guessing they know exactly what you know, that all the teams are running all the same stuff. Is this like for show? And I'm not asking you to criticize any individuals here, but hearing you answer the question the way you did, like, makes me think this is much ado about nothing, and the people, the player, the former players who were bitching and moaning about it, like, what's the point of it? Is that fair that I think that and say that?
Yeah, no, I think it's completely fair. And I think, you know, I think part of it is 7 championships, part of it is, you know, his time in New England, part of it is Deflategate and Spygate and all the other things that, you know, all the other gates that went down, and people have a overall distrust for anything that came out of New England over those times with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. And, you know, my wife thinks the same thing. My wife is like, it's not fair. They shouldn't allow, you know, and I'm like, hey, look, slow down. Like there's, but again, I don't know. And I'm in a facility just about every weekend. Right. And I sit down with coaches and I'll be in Washington this weekend and I'm really good buddies with Dan Quinn and, you know, I'll get free reign of the whole facility. And ultimately, there's not a trade secret that I'm going to find out. Now, I may know on Friday who the inactives are. I may know on Friday that Jaden Daniels is going to play or isn't going to play, but I'll keep that to myself. I'm not going to, you know, let the Raiders know one way or another because that wouldn't be fair, you know, on that particular game. But, you know, a week from now, I mean, I go on the podcast. I go on the Sing the Truth podcast. After I do this game, I'll drop a podcast probably on Tuesday. I call it The Leftovers. And it's all the thing from my board that I didn't get to in the game. You know, the things that I knew or that the coaches told me, the quarterbacks told me that we didn't get out in the broadcast. So I kind of just dump all that information. You know, I don't think he's getting more information than I'm getting. You know, I don't know that he can go in the facilities. I think he has to Zoom them. I'm in the facilities. I'm talking to everybody, you know, I'm talking to GMs. I'm talking to, cause I enjoy it. And I have a lot of relationships in the league. I just don't see how it's going to be a big advantage. Again, does it look bad? Yeah. I think there's a lot of people that think it looks bad.
Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Odyssey Sports NFL Insider Mark Schlereth on the show. I'm not kidding when I say this. Can you send, if you know Jaden Daniels is out on Friday, can you please text us? Like, we won't tell anyone, but just let us know, because then we can bet the Raiders, and that would be awesome. I'm not kidding. I'm actually not kidding. I'd like to go lightning round here, Stink. We have about 4.5 minutes to go. Want to hit a couple different topics. Now, you said you think the Bengals will miss the playoffs. I agree. The betting market has it that way as well. Cincy, a big favorite now to miss the playoffs at our show sponsor, BetMGM. Maybe it'll surprise you to hear that the Chiefs at 0-2 are a big favorite to still make the postseason, almost minus 200 at BetMGM. Stink, do you see it that way, that despite the 0-2 start, the Chiefs will still make the postseason?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know when Worthy's coming back, but they're going to get Rice back. He's a good, you know, really good football player. They're still figuring out their offensive line because, you know, they've got a couple of new guys on the left side of the offensive line. So that will get, I think that will get rectified over time. And they still have Andy Reid. They still have Steve Spagnuolo as the defensive coordinator. They still have Patrick Mahomes. So, yeah, I mean, they've dug themselves a little bit of a hole, but you know, I do believe they'll get out of it. The interesting thing for me is you look at the Chargers right now, right? They're 2-0. They've beaten Kansas City on that Friday night opener in Brazil. And then they just beat last night. They beat the Raiders last night. And this Sunday, they've got the Broncos at SoFi. So if you start the season 3-0 in your own division, if you're the Chargers, man, you almost have a death grip on that division crown. So it'll be really interesting to see this Broncos-Chargers game and how that affects, you know, things and what ends up happening there. But I still believe the Chiefs, you know, with their quarterback and with what they've got going on from a coaching staff standpoint and their pedigree, I think they'll still be a playoff team. I hope not. I mean, as a Bronco, I hope they're not a playoff team. By the way, they are in last place, which makes me very, very happy. But I do think they're going to make it to the playoffs.
Stink, I want to stay on the Chargers because you just mentioned you've been watching the film from last night, Chargers beating the Raiders. Justin Herbert has looked really impressive through two games. In about 60 seconds, is this the year that Justin Herbert takes the next step and joins the upper echelon quarterbacks like your Mahomes, your Lamars, your Josh Allens, and leads the Chargers to winning the division and maybe even a couple of playoff games in January?
Yeah, it certainly feels that way, you know. And they lost Slater early, and just moved Joe Alt over there to left, which is a really hard transition. And Joe Alt's over there just a pillar, man. He is just awesome. That's why Jim Harbaugh said when they drafted him fifth overall, you know, he's an offensive weapon, the tip of the spear. So that was big. They're physical. They're going to play that style of football. But I'm 100% on board. I think Justin Herbert is awesome, and he has not been obviously good in the playoffs and all that kind of stuff, but I do think they're a more balanced football team. I think defensively they're a really good football team. I think their receiving core you know, with Allen coming back, Ladd McConkey being that good. What's the kid's name that was a first rounder? Johnson.
Quentin Johnson.
Like, he's all of a sudden, learned how to catch the ball. I do think this is kind of the breakout year for Justin Herbert, with all the naysayers having to kind of eat a little bit of crow.
Stink, we're basically out of time here. I'm just hoping, this is not a question, if you could just pass a message along. No, you're a Bronco. I've won Super Bowls in Denver. Can we get Sean Payton? Because he's, after each of the first two games this year, he's basically going like hand up, like, I didn't do a good enough job. Call him the field goal block on a 60-yarder. He says I shouldn't have done that. Maybe some of us bet the Denver Broncos on Sunday, Stink, and had to watch a leverage call and then a 45-yarder get home. So maybe if you wanted to, just to pass that along to Sean Payton from us, we would really appreciate it. You're the best. We appreciate the time. Stinkin' Truth Podcast, Odyssey Sports NFL insider Mark Schlereth on the call this Sunday of the Commanders and Raiders in our nation's capital. Stink, stay well, safe travels. We'll talk to you next week.
Take care.
For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Insider calls brought to you by the aforementioned Nationwide. I think he loves the Broncos. Do you think he liked me throwing that in there?
I don't think so.
Yeah, probably not. I don't care.
More
on last night's game coming up next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Rhodes will snap. Sanchez will hold. And the kick is no good! Denver's gonna win! Denver's gonna win!
Oh, is there a penalty down in the middle of the field? Right by the center.
Oh, my goodness.
They must have touched the center.
This is You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
That was a great mix of that cut there. It was well done. Nice fade at the end. Nice natural out. I'm a little salty with everybody today. A little salty. Kevin Harlan, Trent Green with the call this past Sunday on CBS. That was one of those where, wow, like, I won some money. This is really great. Oh, wait. There's a penalty flag on the field. No, I didn't. It's been a frustrating first couple weeks betting the National Football League for yours truly. And there have been people that have cost me money. People that have cost you, the listener and viewer, money. And we hold them accountable each and every Tuesday here during the National Football League season on You Better You Bet with He's a Slap. Let's start with Denver Broncos head coach, Sean Payton. Everyone thinks of Sean Payton, wow, he's one of the best coaches of all time in the NFL. Super Bowl champion. Offensive guru, smartest guy in the room. Don't believe me? Just ask him. He'd love to tell you how much smarter he is than you and everybody else. And that smart guy routine, look at how great I am, look at how smart I am, look at how many friends I have. Look at how I tricked the Vikings into taking J.J. McCarthy, even though, like, why would you do that? Like, what does it have to do with anything? Let me throw my players under the bus publicly. This routine and this act works with Sean Payton. And to be clear, I like Sean Payton a lot. He's a Giants guy originally, and a Parcells guy. And everyone's like, oh, well, he started in Dallas. No, he started with the Giants. And when Kerry Collins threw a brutal sideline interception to Justin Lucas in a Giants-Cardinals game in 2002, Jim Fossil took the play calling away from Sean Payton, and Sean Payton got so pissed that he left the Giants, and he was right, and the Giants were wrong. But still, this act works for Sean Payton when you're winning football games and you're doing it in a decisive way. So in week one, and I didn't bet the Broncos in week one, but maybe you did. The Broncos should have won that game despite the turnovers against Tennessee, by 30 points. They won by 8. The spread was 8.5. At the end of the game, Sean Payton could have kicked a field goal to cover the spread and like put the game out of reach, and instead went for it on fourth down in a ridiculous, ridiculous call that no one brings up because it was a nothing game and the Broncos ended up winning. And Sean Payton apologized after the game, saying he needs to be way better calling an offensive game. He was on Sunday. The Broncos' offense looked great against Indy's defense. But at the end of the game, that leverage call, some bitching and moaning about it. How do you make that call if you're an official? Sean Payton says it was the right call. And he also said that it's his fault. Not special teams coach Darren Rizzi. You know, the Rizzler. It's no one's fault but his. He called a field goal block on a 60-yard field goal. As it turns out, the kick was like short and wide right. By 10 yards. You didn't have to try and block it. He was going to miss it. Not Brandon Aubrey kicking this field goal. And he cost the Broncos a win. And more importantly, cost me money. Hey, Sean. You want to replay this I'm smarter than you, holier than thou routine? Go out there and win the damn game on Sunday against the Chargers. No more excuses. No more hand up. No more, sorry, I need to do better. This is the NFL, buddy. This ain't Pop Warner. Do better, Slappy. Alligators get a raw deal. Sometimes they bite people. I think that's generally people's fault. Like, hey, like, you know what alligators like to do? They like to bite people. Leave an alligator alone. I don't think the alligator's going to bother anybody. But we take the word alligator and we turn it into an insult when we talk about the National Football League. When we describe a wide receiver as having alligator arms. Some people like alligator-skinned wallets, alligator-skinned boots. That's some people's jam. If that's what you like, Brian Thomas Jr. is your favorite wide receiver. No one in the history of the world has alligator arms like this guy. Terrified of getting hit. People want to say, well, you know, Trevor Lawrence throws hospital balls over the middle of the field. Guess what, idiots? It's the NFL. You throw passes over the middle of the field. And if you're an NFL wide receiver, your bell is going to get rung. Your ass is going to get lit up. There's a part of the job. Period. And Brian Thomas, who I love. Who loves Brian Thomas Jr. more than me? You listen to the show last year, this year, this offseason? I think he's the best. The fact that he's so scared of taking... What happened to this dude? I'm worried. I'm being serious. I don't know if it's something going on in his head. Is he hurt? I don't know what's going on. He got to fix it. And I need him to fix it. Now. I need the Jaguars to beat the Texans on Sunday for my futures bets. Brian Thomas Jr., quit being a slap. Start catching the ball. Week one for the New York Jets. You know what we say? No medals for trying. No moral victories. Loser participation trophy culture. But despite all of that, we collectively, as an NFL viewing public, cognoscenti, is that how you pronounce the word? Whatever. We all somehow decided, including me, and I'm a hard ass. I think second place is the first loser. No medals for trying. I can't wait to like watch my daughter play soccer and like change my mind completely. Being a parent will probably change my mind. But for now, no medals for trying. And yet we all somehow decided after the Jets' loss in week one. Wow, like they actually won the game. It's okay that they lost because they were really gutty in losing. Like, they barely lost and they played well, so actually it's like a win. Even though they lost, they were 0-1. What a mistake that was. Because the Jets this past Sunday against Buffalo got embarrassed by the Bills. And Aaron Glenn wanted to do this tough guy routine, cutting Xavier Gibson last week. We're not going to let people that make plays like this, they're not going to stick. They're not going to be a Jet. Oh, yeah? Why is Michael Clemens still on the team? You going to cut Justin Fields? Played like ass on Sunday. Is he going to get cut? You going to cut Sauce Gardner? You going to cut Garrett Wilson? Or is that type of tough talk BS reserved only for guys that are on the roster bubble? Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah, like that's Detroit Lions culture. That's Dan Campbell culture, right? Getting embarrassed. And the whole thing with Aaron Glenn, let Tanner Engstrand run the offense. Aaron Glenn's going to fix the defense. How's the defense look through 2 weeks? Anyone think Aaron Glenn's doing a great job? We all looking to crown Aaron Glenn after another loss? 0-2. Time to turn it around. But, like, I'm done with the moral victories nonsense. Go out there and beat Todd Bowles and the Bucks on Sunday, whether it's Justin Fields or Tyrod Taylor. Slappy. I have a couple other names written down, but Emmy's got some betting stuff here. I was going to kill Caleb Johnson. Yeah.
Oh, no, please do that. I bet Steelers, so
do
please kill
to?
Caleb Johnson.
Do you want
to? No, I want you to kill. I want to hear what you have to say about Caleb Johnson.
Okay. All right, are you ready? Like, I had nothing planned. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So the Pittsburgh Steelers drafted Caleb Johnson. And everyone's thinking, oh, okay, thunder and lightning with Jaylen Warren and Caleb Johnson. Couple problems with this. Number one, Caleb Johnson can't pass protect. Number two, his quarterback's Aaron Rodgers. Do people think that Aaron Rodgers is going to let a rookie play who can't protect him from the blitz? Like, what planet are you on? Kenny Gainwell's been the number two running back for the Steelers for like 2.5 months. Caleb Johnson was there, and people are drafting Caleb Johnson fans. Oh, he's going to be awesome this year. Really? He can't even get on the field. Yeah, he's great. So we gave you point one, we gave you point two. In buzz from Home Alone fashion, point D. Caleb Johnson's returning kicks for the Steelers. Now, I will admit something to everybody. I got too much going on in my life to know the landing zone rules. Yeah, to me, it's like, is the landing zone, like, where is that next to, like, the demilitarized zone? Like, is the landing zone, like, this, like the body of water in between, like, North and South Korea? Like, the body of, like, is that what the landing, I don't know, what's the landing zone? I don't know, they change the rules every year now. I honestly don't understand it. But I don't play in the NFL. I'm not a kick returner in the NFL. Caleb Johnson is. First off, like, the ball, like, hit him. So it's like, it's a live ball, buddy. He doesn't know the rules. He lets the ball bounce into the Seahawks. It's a touch. It what? Mike Tomlin goes, yeah, we practice. He got asked about it. Do you guys know about this? He goes, yeah, we talk about it every day of our lives. Do you? Didn't look like your kick returner knew the rules, Mike. Caleb Johnson, can't pass protect, can't get on the field with Aaron Rodgers, and now won't be returning kicks anymore for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But hey, we'll always have those days in April following the NFL draft where in dynasty drafts, people like Tyler Morales were falling all over themselves to click that button on Caleb Johnson. What a slap. And then I'll just very quickly, the Cardinals won, and like I'm happy they did. Jonathan Gannon looked like he took mushrooms in the second half of the game, and then and then saw like a cop car drive by him. Yeah, just like terrified of the world, unable to put a sentence together, mouth closed. Can we please do better, Jonathan Gannon? I don't have time to get into the full Gannon thing. So there you have it. Those are the slaps for week number two in the National Football League. You better, you bet on this Tuesday. Spammy, did the Caleb Johnson stuff make you feel any better?
I still don't have the money that I would have won had the Steelers been able to cover, so I can't say I feel better, but it was needed to hear that. And also, by the way, to put a bow on that, Mike Tomlin said that he probably won't be returning kicks anymore. So we got that going for us going forward for the Pittsburgh Steelers in week three.
I can say that.
Landing zone aside, like, it's a kickoff. That's why there's onside kicks. Like, you can't just let the ball sit there. You literally have to possess the football. It is a kickoff. It's not like it's a punt and the other team comes down and then downs the punt or whatever. It is a kickoff. So regardless, whether it's 10 yards or 60 yards down the field, you need to recover that ball. Otherwise, it belongs to the kick team. Like, the whole thing is just ridiculous. And I can't believe it happened. And it cost us money. So it sucks.
Well, yeah. And for my Pittsburgh playoff bets, that was not great. Pittsburgh over the win total. You have a couple other betting thoughts out of last night. So mine were, like, Falcons to make the playoffs, actually, with how good Tampa's looked and the fact that Atlanta should have beat them in week one. And I like the Broncos on Sunday, Femi, against the Chargers. What do you got for us coming out of Monday Night Football, betting-wise?
So the first thing is kind of goes against what you believe for this weekend. I think the Chargers are going to win the division. And I wasn't there until last night because I felt deep down that the Raiders were going to win the game. So I thought Kansas City could still hang around. But when you look at the Chargers schedule, and Bill brought this up in our text chain last night, and I kind of thought about it a little bit after the game. I was like, huh. Like, this team really does have a very, very favorable schedule. Like, let's just say the betting market's right and they win a close game on Sunday against Denver. At your Giants, home Commanders, at Dolphins, home Colts, home Vikings, at Titans, home Steelers, at Jaguars. That is the stretch before the bye week. I mean, are we talking about the 9-1, 10-1 Los Angeles Chargers? Is that what we're talking about once we get to around Thanksgiving? I think we might be. And at
plus 110,
they're
going to lose on Sunday. They're going to lose on Sunday.
Well, I mean, even if they do lose, I mean, I read off the other games. Like, they very much have the best quarterback in all of those games, and it's not even close. And they probably have the best head coach in the game as well. Like, they're in an advantageous situation to where if they rip off all these wins, plus 110, it's not going to be plus 110 when we get to around Turkey Day. So I think it is wise to grab some charges, especially if you believe they're going to win on Sunday.
I like that. What do you think about, I know you'll do this tomorrow in the Femi Hour of the show, a lot of people are liking Justin Herbert MVP right now, third on the odds board.
I think he's got a very good chance. And we were talking about that last week during our award segment. If you have those Josh Allen and Jordan Love tickets, you want to play some defense and grab you some Justin Herbert because that guy's going to be in the conversation all season.
On the other side, we'll get you set to bet college football this weekend. The biggest storylines in college football coming out of week three into week four next.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Fourth in the game. Reed. Rush comes. Reed pumps. Fires. It is caught. Nate Borkature brings it in and ties the game.
This is You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Friend of the show, Noah Eagle. We may have some news about his dad rejoining the show. We'll save that for maybe later in the week, but hopefully I'll have Ian Eagle on the show at some point soon. Baby Bird, Noah Eagle, with the call on NBC this past Saturday night as ND with an insane loss to Texas A&M, 41-40. Jake, I'm going to ask you to play the highlight again in a second. What I want everyone to listen to, and you get this sometimes, right? This phenomenon with crowd noise, where if you didn't know, you would think that maybe, like, this was actually, like, at Kyle Field, right? And this is an A&M home game, with the way the crowd sounds. This is actually, like, the exasperated cry of a crowd that's about to watch their favorite team lose. Listen to the noise the Notre Dame crowd makes when Texas A&M converts this miracle fourth down touchdown to tie the game and eventually would take the lead on an extra point.
Fourth in the game. Reed. Rush comes. Reed pumps. Fires. It is caught. Nate Borkature brings it in.
It sounds a little bit like they're celebrating, but you know it's in South Bend. That is like, oh my God, we can't believe what just happened. Always love that. That's an interesting crowd noise there from Notre Dame. So the Irish, 0-2 now to start the college football season, with losses against Miami and Texas A&M. And we were asking this question. We talked about this with Brett McMurphy. We got way ahead of this here on You Better You Bet. What happens if Notre Dame loses to A&M and starts the year 0-2? Those are the two best teams on Notre Dame's schedule, like to start the year, Miami and A&M. If they lose both and then win out, can the Irish get into the college football playoff at 10-2, having lost to the two best teams that they play? And some people say, well, it's Notre Dame, like, definitely. Others are more in the camp that, like, no. Like, the schedule, like, the wins aren't going to be good enough. And we'll see what happens with the other teams that are contending. Like, how many losses are they going to have? I think people will find it interesting that at BetMGM right now, Notre Dame is a big plus price to make the playoff. So the expectation in the betting market is that Notre Dame will not make the college football playoff. Plus 230 is the price for ND to make the postseason. Plus 230 to make the postseason. It's not the most difficult schedule moving forward for Notre Dame. And I want to read it to everybody here. They are almost a 4-touchdown favorite at home against Purdue on Saturday. At Arkansas. Home Boise. Home NC State. Home USC. And that's the toughest game remaining. At BC, home Navy, at Pitt, home Syracuse, at Stanford. It's not the most difficult schedule. And I think people seeing that schedule and the price, plus 230 to make, and knowing it's Notre Dame, might be inclined to click that button and make that bet on Notre Dame. My opinion, I think Notre Dame is absolutely losing at least one more game this season. All anyone can say coming out of Saturday night's loss to A&M is, can Notre Dame please get Al Golden back from the Cincinnati Bengals? Which is just really funny for a multitude of reasons. Because the defense is hot garbage. It's terrible. This is not even close to the Notre Dame defense last year that helped get them to within a game of winning the national championship. Not even close. So yeah, like, Notre Dame's going to beat Purdue this weekend. Here's a question for everybody. How many points is Notre Dame going to give up against Arkansas? How many points is Notre Dame going to give up against USC? I think they're losing at least one more game. At least one. And if they're going to win these games, these games are going to be high scoring. I think Notre Dame, and we, how many times have we said this about Notre Dame? Like, in our lives, the Notre Dame's going to be an over team. Like, Notre Dame kind of feels to me right now like college football's version of, like, the Dallas Cowboys. Or like the Cincinnati Bengals. Like, they're going to give up points, but they can also score a lot of points as well. Like we saw on Saturday night, losing 41-40 to Texas A&M. So I'm not interested in betting Notre Dame to make the playoff. I think Notre Dame's going to miss the playoff. And I'm likely, like, if Notre Dame's going to be big favorites in games, like, I think they're going to be really hard to trust with this defense being what it is when they go up against pretty good offenses. Talk a little Big Ten. Michigan, after losing to Oklahoma in week 2, under the bright lights in Norman, Brent Venables stuffs Bryce Underwood in a locker. That did happen. I bet Michigan in the game. Femi bet Michigan. Look, it's a great performance by Oklahoma. John Mateer, Moneyline Mateer, one of the Heisman favorites. Oklahoma's look good to start the year. We'll get to them in a little bit. They're a big favorite at home against Auburn this weekend. So Michigan bounced back on Saturday in a game that, like, nobody watched because they were playing Central Michigan and Biff Poggi or Poggi or whatever is the interim coach for Sharon Moore, who, in like a long-standing history of Michigan coaches being suspended for games, Sharon Moore did not coach the game. And Michigan won, not figuratively, literally, by 60. Beat Central Michigan 63-3. And Bryce Underwood, who obviously struggled against Oklahoma, as a true freshman going up against the Venables defense, that's understandable, right? Bryce Underwood said after the game that he thinks that he's kind of turned, and I'm paraphrasing what he actually, this is not like a direct quote, but if you look up what he said, it, like the spirit of what I'm saying is definitely going to be the same. That he feels like he kind of like turned the corner, and he's better than he was even a couple weeks ago, used his legs way more, using his legs as a weapon, like ran all over Central. Of course, like consider the opponent, that's fair. But he feels like and sounds like a quarterback operating with way more confidence than he did in that Saturday night loss on the road in Norman. And if you watch Bryce Underwood play, even if he struggles, like you can see he's just oozing with natural ability and talent. And that takes us to this Saturday's game. Michigan at Baby Mahomes. I don't even know if that's like fair. Like, is that even fair to call him that? Like, because they look alike? This is like, it's like single white female. Like, it's creepy. Going up against Dylan Rayola. Femi says knock off Mahomes. Tyler says fat Mahomes. I called him that last year also, to be fair. Also, like, he's probably getting paid a lot of money to play quarterback for Nebraska. God bless him. Dylan Rayola. A nice Italian. A nice paisan.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.